In the gospel reading today, our Lord is asked if only a few people are going to be saved. We live in a situation today where we actually have bishops and priests and theologians who are teaching an outright heresy. And the heresy is basically that everyone goes to heaven. After all, God is infinitely merciful and God loves us, and both of those things are true. And therefore, everybody goes to heaven. Well, that part's not true. Yes, God is merciful, and yes, God loves you. But the question is, do we love him? And the idea that because God is merciful, that he somehow just really doesn't care what we do, because somehow being merciful means being nice. That's not the reality. And so when our Lord is asked if many will be saved, he says to us that we have to try to enter through the narrow gate. And he tells us that many will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough to do so. Even as we look further down, he talks about how people are going to come from the east and the west, the north and the south, and they will enter the kingdom of heaven. And he said, but you yourselves will be cast out. So he's not saying everybody goes to heaven. And in fact, when we look at the book of Revelation, we recall that St. John saw a crowd of people that no one could count from every race and tribe and tongue and people and nation. But we have 8 billion people on the face of the earth right now. And even if a couple billion of those people went to heaven, that's a lot of people. And it's still the vast minority of the people who are on the face of the earth. So the fact that there are a lot of people in heaven doesn't mean that everyone is going there or that even the majority are going there. And I say that to simply say that we cannot just sit back and assume that we're going to be able to go to heaven. If we want to go to heaven, we have to choose it. And that choice, as we've talked about before, isn't just this generic thing of, yeah, I guess if it's either heaven or hell, I guess I'd rather go to heaven. Well, I hope so. But that's not sufficient. We have to embrace it. We have to say, this is what I'm going to live. And then what's going to happen is if we make that choice, the Lord is going to see if we really mean it. He's going to test it. And that's exactly what St. Paul talks about in the second reading today. He says that God disciplines every son whom he receives. And he tells us the discipline, when it is meted out, doesn't seem to be a cause for joy, but rather for pain. But it is only later on when those who are schooled in it are able to see the fruit of it. So we all know how that is. For those of you who are parents and you discipline your kids, what do you hear? Oh, thanks, Mom and Dad, for disciplining me. That was the greatest. No, you hear, oh, you hate me. You're the worst mom ever. Whatever it is, they're going to spew out at you. And you can ask yourself, why do you discipline your kids? It's because you love them. Hopefully you're not disciplining them because you're angry at them. It's the wrong reason. You discipline them because you love them. Because you want them to break from the bad habits and do the right thing. Because you want to train them in growing in virtue and doing what is right. It's what the word discipline actually means. It comes the same word as disciple. It means a student, a learner. We're learning how to be virtuous. We're learning how to overcome our weaknesses and do what's right. That's what discipline is about. If you think about it, ask yourself, well, if you want to hire somebody to do something, or you maybe have a business and you want to look at who might be taking over the business at some point, are you going to just put everybody's name in a basket and pull one out and say, oh, this one, I guess, will be it? It's like, no, you want somebody who's been tested. You want somebody who's proven themselves. Well, God wants you to be a saint. If you're saying, I want to go to heaven, God's going to say, all right, let's test it. Let's see if you really mean it. And that's what's going on. So St. Paul tells us that we need to see the trials of our lives as discipline from God. We all have various trials and sufferings that we have to endure. Right now, the things that are happening, the whole world is going to be dealing with this. The more people that I talk to, the more that I'm hearing the same thing from everybody. You can feel the oppression. It's palpable at this point, it's gotten so bad. And we're just starting. And so the real question as we go through everything is, am I going to remain faithful? Am I going to continue to trust? Am I going to continue to love the Lord? You see, if we're just going to give him lip service and say that we love him, or say that we want to serve him, or say that we want to go to heaven, then he tells us, you're going to knock on the door and you'll say, I don't know where you're coming from. We'll say, but I went to church, didn't I? You'll say, did you pray? Did you try to live a holy life? Were you faithful? I don't know you. The only one you're going to know is somebody who's in a relationship with you. You know, for instance, again, if you using exactly what our Lord talked about, let's say that you went to a football stadium and you were going to give an address. So you get up and you've got 60,000 people there and you give this address. And somebody who happened to be there says, but I was there at the stadium when you gave the address. It's like, I don't know you. Like, but I was right there. It's like, but I don't know who you are. So the fact that we happen to be in the same place that our Lord is doesn't mean that we know him. And if we don't have a relationship with him, obviously he's God, he knows everything, but in that relational sense, he doesn't know us. So we are living, as I've told you many times, in the greatest time in history to be a saint. That's what God wants for each one of us. And the only way that's going to happen is if we have a prayer life, if we know him, if we love him. We have to be so careful. I mean, on one hand, we recognize what a blessing God has given us to have faith, to be able to come to Mass, to be able to profess our belief in him. And we realize that if this is going to befall the entire world, which it is, we have a huge head start on everyone else. However, we listened to the first reading, and the Jewish people certainly had a head start on everybody. They had the fullness of the truth as it had been revealed at that time. So imagine now being a Jewish person 2,800 years ago when Isaiah is preaching this. And he says, guess what? Okay, first of all, you understand you are the chosen people. Of all the people on the face of the earth, God chose the Jewish people as his chosen people. So you say, all right, that's us. We've been given the truth. We've been given everything. We know the Lord. And what does Isaiah say? He said he's going to send people out to all the pagan nations, people who've never heard of his glory before. And they are going to come, and they will glorify him. And even more amazing in the last line of the reading, something that would have been absolutely unthinkable for a Jewish person, he said about the pagans that some of these I'm going to make priests and Levites. For the Jewish people, only people who were in the line of Aaron could be a priest. So even if a pagan converts to Judaism, they're clearly not in the line of Aaron. How could they be a priest? But that's exactly what God is telling them. And that's exactly what he's done. Some of our relatives from way back when were pagans. And praise God, they converted and they've handed that faith on to us. And we all know as Catholics that it tends to be the converts who make the best Catholics. Because as an adult, they have chosen to live the faith. Whereas for the rest of us, it's just always there. It doesn't really mean a whole lot to us sometimes. And that's the part we need to really look at seriously. The Lord told us to stay on the narrow path, and that's exactly what He's taught us. But, you know, when you grow up on the narrow path, you think, oh, the grass is always greener on the other side. I need to check this. I need to try that. The Lord say, no, just stay on the path. And we keep rebelling. So then we look at it, and we sometimes will look around at other people who are doing all these horrible things. And we look at it and say, well, God's not doing anything to them, so obviously He doesn't care. And then we think somehow or another, therefore, they've got the better part. Well, think about it again from a parental point of view, for those of you who are parents. You've got a rebellious teenager, and they are just out of control, being a horrible example to the rest of your kids, doing stupid things. The day finally comes when the parents have to say, you need to go. Now, the other kids might look at it and go, Mom and Dad, you know, they think that what this one's doing is all right. They don't let me do anything, but that one, they don't care. No. The parents understand the absolute worst thing that could ever happen to that kid is to get kicked out of the house. They have to do it sometimes, but that's the worst thing that could happen to that kid. And for the parents, it's probably the worst day of their entire life to have to tell their own kid, you need to get out because of what you're doing to everybody else. Now let's put that into the faith side. The worst thing that could happen to somebody is for God to say, you don't want to walk on the path I've given you? Go your own way then. Make your own path. Do it your way. It's the worst thing that could happen to somebody. And we look at it and go, see, look at these people. God doesn't care about them. Oh, yeah, He does. They don't care about Him is the problem. And the worst, if that day that the parents have to kick their teenage kid out of the house is the worst day of their life, think of God when He has to let somebody else go. Say, fine, you don't want to do it my way? Go. How devastating. God wants us to be saints. He wants us on that narrow path. And if you are trying to walk that path, but in your humanness, you're weak, you're sinful, you fall, you get off the path sometimes, God in His mercy and in His love is going to get you back on the path. And we complain about it. Oh, I do one thing wrong and He's right there, you know, smacking me. These people He doesn't care about. He's doing that because you're trying to do what's right. Because you want to do what's right, He's going to help you. If you don't want to be on His path, He'll say, fine, go your way then. But if you want to do the right thing, He's going to help you. And He's going to help you through trials. He's going to help you through testing you. Because that's the only way we're going to get stronger. We know that. He's going to discipline us. And the fruit of discipline is only seen later on. That's exactly what He wants. If we can learn through these struggles, which at the time might seem painful, might seem to us unfair, and just like a rebellious kid, we're going to complain and whine. But then we learn. Look at the saints. Look at the lives of the saints. Look at all the sufferings that they went through. They didn't start as saints. They became saints. And that's what has to happen with you and me as well. God wants you to be a saint. And He has put us in the time in history that is the greatest time ever to become a saint. But we aren't fully equipped for that because we live in a time where things have gotten pretty soft, where we would rather sit in front of the TV instead of praying. Where we would rather do stupid things rather than work. And so we've gotten soft. And God's going to discipline us to strengthen us so that when things get really difficult, and they will, we're going to be able to handle it. So as I said earlier, you and I have a head start on most people because we believe. But don't sit back on your laurels and think just because I have the head start that therefore I'm in like flint. No. We can fall. The Lord made that clear. People will come from east and west, north and south. People who didn't know the Lord and they have a conversion, they're going to live it. They're going to live it wholeheartedly. You and I need to be living it wholeheartedly as well. Not just going through the motions and saying, oh yeah, well I go to church on Sunday, that's good enough. No, he wants us to be living truly holy lives. So as things continue to progress and things get worse and worse and worse, the question is, are we going to continue to pray? Are we going to continue to trust? Are we going to continue to have faith when it doesn't appear that God is doing what we think he should be doing? When God is testing us, when he makes it difficult or allows it to be difficult, when we think it should be easy, are we going to remain faithful? So again, if you wouldn't entrust something major to somebody unless they had been tested and been proven, why would God entrust heaven to people that haven't been tested and proven? That's what he's going to do for us. Not because he hates us, not because he's angry with us, because he loves us, because he wants us to be saints. That means we have to learn the discipline. That means we have to learn to walk on that narrow path. That narrow path is the cross. And that's where we have to be. And that's not easy. But if we look at it and we ask the question, how much does God love me? Well, there's the answer right there on the cross. How much is your soul worth to God? There's the answer. So the question isn't anymore, how much does God love me? Because the answer to that is he loves you infinitely. The question is, how much do I love God? How much does getting to heaven mean to me? That's the question. And that's the answer that all of us are going to have to provide. That's the test that is coming. It's beginning. We can see it progressing. We can feel it. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Yeah, all these things going on are bad. But God's going to use it to bring about great good. So in the midst of all these things, if we can continue to be faithful, continue to trust, continue to be charitable, God's going to make you a saint. That's what this is all about. So if we learn from St. Paul to accept our discipline as the love of God, because you are his own child, because you are trying to do the right thing. Because if you didn't want to do the right thing, he'll just let you go your own way. So if you're going to make that choice to be able to say, I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to get to heaven. I want to be a saint. And he's going to test that. Do you really mean it? How serious are you about this? So in the midst of the testing, double down. Don't walk away. Don't complain and whine, because that's not going to help anything. Get back to prayer. Continue to try to do the right thing. And recognize what he's doing. He loves you so much that he wants to prepare you to be one of the greatest saints who have ever lived, so that you can get to, not only just get to heaven, but so that you can love and be loved to the fullness of your ability for the rest of eternity.